Okay. Maybe you remember it. Where do I begin to tell the story? This is a young crowd. Don't make me sing it. This is one of those not good songs. Well, anyway, it would take way too long, and I'd have no idea where to begin to tell you the story of James Roberteth Smitheth, or Jimmy. All right. Y'all turn to the book of 1 Peter with me, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 5. And while you're going there, I'll be honest with you, he slipped one on my wife just then, making her sing. But he slipped a good one on me. And if you got a song in your heart, it's easy to sing. Amen?
Amen?
And if you got a message in your heart, it's easy to proclaim it. So it's not really that hard. But I wondered what to do. So I want to give you some food for thought. Maybe you can flesh this thing out a little bit. And maybe it'll give you something to think about as a congregation. But I came in and I heard Brother Jim talking about the church and about who the church was and what the church was. And praise God, he's right. Hey, we can meet under a rock and it's still church. Amen? Because we're there together. But let me give you something to think about. The church is like a bowl of popcorn. Amen? Oh, we all come to church and most of us are all fluffy and pretty. Well, some of us are more fluffy than others, but anyway, nice and fluffy, and there we are. But there's always some of those hard ones in the bottom, amen? And now you stop and you look at that, and you think, well, the only way you get to be light and fluffy is if you submit to the heat of Jesus Christ. And only when you're resistant to that do you end up a cold, hard, nothing. You're really not fulfilling what God created you to be. So a bowl of popcorn's got a lot to tell us. And I've not even put anything in there about the salt that gives us flavor and flavors our world. And if you've ever rubbed your eyes after eating popcorn, you know it sticks around a while. Amen? And I'm not talking about the hot, gooey, wonderful butter that covers us like the Holy Spirit does and how great we are. There's a lot in that. I thought about that, and then I thought, well, maybe we won't go there. So we ended up in 1 Peter. And that's food for thought. Hey, church, can I tell you something? It's okay to smile. Amen? I mean, we got the best news of the day. If we ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Amen? All right, 1 Peter. Y'all stand up when we read, y'all stand up. If you don't want to, that's fine, okay? But we're going to read. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you this evening for allowing us to meet back again together. In your name. Father, we pray that as we have done that, as we've met together in your name, I pray, Father, that you would put our hearts and our minds where they should be. Father, I pray that you would settle our spirits. Father, I pray that you would give us joy in our hearts, but an attentive ear. Father, I pray that we would come with a reverent spirit to hear what you would have us to hear. Father, pass my voice, pass my words. Father, I pray that you would put into our hearts and our minds your words and your Holy Spirit. So, Father, I submit to you. I pray that you would speak through me now. And it's in your name, Jesus, I do pray. And amen. 1 Peter. You may be seated. 1 Peter chapter 8. There's one thing that we always focus on in that verse. Now, I'm a little bit interactive at times, so you can talk back to me, okay? What is the one thing that we always focus on, and most preachers always preach on, in this verse? What's the one thing that we always do? What do we hear? What do we think about? What's the one thing that jumps out? The devil. That's what we focus on, isn't it? Well, that's the question I've got for you today. And I thought about it this morning. We sang that beautiful hymn, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Amen? Whoo! Look full in His wonderful face. I might just get carried away. And the world will grow dim, strangely dim, in the light of His wonder and grace. Man, that's a beautiful, beautiful song to sing and to think about. But I looked at this and I thought, you know, we're looking at this all wrong. What a beautiful verse we've got of Scripture there that talks about being sober and being vigilant. And I think we spend too much time looking at the bad stuff in the world that we forget about the good stuff in the world. Now, let's not look at the devil tonight. Let's not look at the lion, because we know who that is and we know what that is. And can I just tell you one thing real quick? The devil's got a lot of help. Amen? Now, Brother Jim didn't take me on the grand tour. He gave me the quick. Boy, I tell you what, that was quick, brother. Well, I tell you what, there is no sin in the world that doesn't come from the heart of man. Amen? And so it's there everywhere you go. It's just a whole lot easier to show and to be seen in some places. Now, as a child, I spent some time in New Orleans during Mardi Gras. Now, I did say as a child, okay, that anything for me before I met my wife, I was a child. She'd say I've not progressed very far. And that might be true. But as a child, I spent some time there in school, and it was a school-chaperoned event, and I'll just tell you that that's a city that's full of sin and degradation, too. So if I can share with you, we live in a little bitty town in the middle of nowhere, Kentucky. That's that east? That way. And if you start walking today, by next year, you might be there. It'd take a while. But nobody ever heard of Somerset, Kentucky. But you will, because, well, no, that's probably not where heaven's going to be. But it'd be a good spot for it. And you're not going to end up there as you travel. You've got to be going there. Let me say this. It's a small town. It would probably fit, I don't know. Yeah. In this area. I mean, it's a small place. And I'm coming to a point here, so just be patient with me. I tend to ramble a little bit. Amen. Hey, church, let me tell you something. Sin is everywhere. We went to South America, spent some time down there. Y'all don't know nothing about hot yet. Getting close today. They don't like to wear a whole lot of clothes down there. And what they do wear is breathable. In church, let me tell you, I didn't see nasty until I got back to Somerset. See, there's sin everywhere because there's man everywhere. We know who the lion is. We know who the devil is. But let me just tell you something. Like you said this morning, brother, the devil takes many forms. And they're not always ugly. As a matter of fact, they're quite pretty, beautiful, handsome, whatever you want to call it. Ooh, tastes good, looks good, smells good, is good for a minute. But then comes the payday. The devil comes as a roaring lion in sheep's clothing. And he uses people to do it. If you don't believe me, you just walk downtown there, or the other town. What did I hear it called yesterday or the day before, whenever it was? The Neon Distraction. That's a pretty good name. That's pretty accurate. You can go down there and get distracted, and you can stay there for a while, and I promise you somebody will come up and destroy you, devour you. But I don't want to spend a lot of time there. Now, I've got all the time in the world. I'm not going to keep you. I'm going to let you go early in the morning. And we'll get done when we get done, okay? But I want to look at the other two things in this verse. I want to look at the good stuff here. I want to talk about sober and vigilant this evening. Is that okay? Can we do that? Can we talk about sober and vigilant this evening? I like those two words. And I had some thoughts. That's a dangerous thing for a preacher. But let's look at it for a minute anyway. To be sober. Let's think about that. To be sober, to be aware, to be level-headed, to pay attention. And it came to me this afternoon that that's what we need to be as Christians, because after all, Christians are supposed to be sober and vigilant, aren't we? That's our job. That's what we're supposed to do. Hey, to be sober and vigilant. So sober Christians are aware Christians. They're level-headed Christians and they pay attention to people and situations around them. That's what we're supposed to do as Christians. Vigilant Christians are on the job, are intent and unwavering. Praise the Lord. Let's think about it. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 and 16. And that verses say, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Hey, church, can I tell you, it's time that we got busy being who we're supposed to be. Let me just say it this way. You didn't see the Lord going out here acting the fool, did He? No, He came. He had a job to do. He was on task. He was about the Father's business. He had something to accomplish. He was vigilant about His job. And there was a reason. Because the time, the days, needed redeeming because they were evil. See, nothing really has changed. You know what one of my favorite things to do is to see a kid come up to me, a child come up to me, well, all kids and children, teenagers, and they look at me and they think, "What does that old man know about anything?" Can I get a witness? Huh? Y'all ever had that look? It's pitiful, isn't it? Look at that. What do you know about it? They act like they got it coined. Ha! Put a little duh on that. That's their attitude. They think they got it all together. They know it all. Nobody knows. I'll tell you what. I wish we'd let our son go when he still thought he knew everything. Amen. Maybe he'd have conquered the world by now. They think they got love figured out. Saw this kid, he told me one day, he says, "I'm going to have to get married." Y'all hear me? Going to have to get married. "Don't know about it though." I said, "Really? Why not? You knew about something." Amen. "You knew about something." He said, "I'm just nervous, scared how it's going to turn out." I said, "Let me explain something to you. You'd have to understand, his mama, the big woman. Big woman. And his daddy weren't much to look at. At least his mama was pretty. She might have been big, but she was pretty. His daddy's just ugly." But somebody praise the Lord, I think that man is ugly. Amen? And he looked at me and he says, "What's it like? What's love? How do I make it?" That, I said, "Let me tell you something, son. This is the thing of it. This is love. You want me to tell you what love is?" I said, "It's not this electric stuff that you feel right now. It's not that whoo love that you got going right now. It's when you're old and you look like your mama and your daddy and you pass each other in the hallway and you go, Amen? See, they don't know nothing about nothing, do they? You know, y'all seen that commercial where the two old people were sitting, I'm being nice, sitting at the table and they're trying to eat your Butterfinger? I'll tell you what love is. Love's when you give your woman your teeth so she can have her half. Amen? See, kids don't know nothing about nothing, do they? Y'all quit laughing. We're in church. See, it's time that we got busy being who we're supposed to be. Kids don't know everything. They don't have the pattern on knowledge. Well, can I be honest with you, church? The reason why our world's in the shape it is because we, God's people, the church, don't have the pattern on being sober and vigilant. Amen? You want to see places around the world that are full of sin dry up? Stand up. And speak up. And don't argue with them. Know when to shut up. Amen, brother? Amen. But it's time that we got serious about being who we were supposed to be. Well, I'm way off track here, but that's okay. The reason why we're not who we're supposed to be is because our eyes aren't fixed on what they're supposed to be on. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. Y'all turn there. It's pretty close to where you're at. It's after Genesis and a pinch before Revelation. Chapter 4 and verse 5. Underline it, highlight it, make a note somewhere else, whatever you got to do. This is something we need to remember. God's Word says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Heard that just a minute ago, didn't you? Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Hey, church, our state needs Jesus. Our country needs Jesus. Our cities need Jesus. But they ain't going to want to hear about Jesus if we look just like they do. We got to come out. We were pulled out. We're peculiar. Amen. We got to start acting like it today. God's people need to get up off their blessed assurance and get busy. Amen. We need to start being what we were called out to be. Little boy got saved. And he come up and he talked to the preacher, and the preacher said, you got to have Jesus in your heart. He says, I do. But I'm confused, Pastor. And he says, what? He says, won't he stick out? He's a grown man. Won't he stick out? See, church, here's the problem. We started growing up and we left him the same size. See, we got saved, and I don't care if you got saved when you was 2, 20, or 222. We grew up. He stayed the same size. Now, the Bible teaches us that we're all given a certain measure of faith. Can I just tell you that faith will never grow unless you work it out? Amen. You can make your biceps big. Let me tell you something. This right here is a steroid. It ain't nobody testing for these days. We need to work out our faith a little bit more than our bodies. Amen. We need to get busy being who we're supposed to be. But it's never going to happen until we make sure of where our eyes are fixed on. You know what? There's Bible for everything, church. There's Bible for everything. And let me tell you why. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 says, and I love this Scripture, but if our gospel be hid, if our good news be hid, but y'all trust me, you want to look. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 says, but if our gospel be hid. Now somebody tell me right there, is that Jesus' gospel? It is. But if we were to tell the good news of Jesus Christ, it would have said so. Now, somebody's out there going, "Preacher, what are you trying to tell me?" Let me tell you this. It says our gospel. See, you don't have to be, well, we're all preachers. Amen. Men, women, boys and girls, if you're saved, you are preaching. Question is what's your message? Amen. We've all got a message to proclaim. Right here it says so. If our gospel, we don't have to be an ordained Bible college, graduating, seminarian, educated, nut. Hey, education's not a bad thing, church. But if you rely on education instead of the Lord, you've erred. You have erred. Our gospel, you don't have to be all those things. What you have to do is you have to stand up and speak up about what He's done for you. That's where we're failing at today. We want to leave it up to Brother Jim. Can I tell you, I've known him longer than you have. He ain't going to do it. He can't do it. Amen. Amen. You put him down there on the strip, and somebody is either going to shoot him, hit him, arrest him, all three, or something worse. And I was down there with him. Maybe they yet ought to. But if we all go, if we all go, "Preacher, I can't get around like I used to." So what? "I can't speak like you can." Well, praise the Lord for that. You probably do better than I would. Excuses. God doesn't want our excuses. He doesn't want our... Let me mess stuff up. He don't want our church attendance. He don't want our money. It's His anyway. And our attendance at church is not something we give Him. It's what He expects from us. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Hey, church, you know why? Can I just be... Oh. Hey, look, preachers cuss every now and then. You want me to tell you why the world's going to hell? Because we're not standing up showing them heaven. Amen. The world's going to hell because our gospel's hid to those that are lost. What are we doing? What are we... You want proof of what I'm telling you? Smile at somebody the next time you walk up to them. What's wrong with you? What do you want? What are you up to? You ought to see people when you say, "Brother, what was that that you said? Can you tell me how to get to heaven? I'm lost. Can you tell me how to get to heaven?" They did a survey in our county, in our state. And our county, our association, did a whole lot better than most everyone else around us. You get real proud until you start really looking at what the numbers mean. 19% of the people in our state go to church service on Sunday morning. 19% go to church service. Hey, listen, church, I ain't talking about a good church, a right church. I'm talking about church. And then they throw up, "Whoa, this recorded, isn't it? Don't tell them who I am, brother. I'll never get back on airplane." I'm going to behave. Hey, can I just tell you, we need to get straightened up and start being who we're supposed to be. Because 19% goes to church, and I would say 3/4 of that 19% ain't going to the right church, because that's Jehovah Witness, that's Catholic, that's every other denomination or lack thereof, that's anything that calls themselves a gathered assembly, that's everybody, 19%. How many goes to a real, amen, a real church? Let me ask you this, church. How many people sit in this congregation every single week and are lost as a rock? I would hope and pray none. But let me tell you this. If something I've said tonight makes you mad, get over it. And more to the point, come down here to this altar, take this pastor's hand and seek out what you need to do to be saved. Our gospel is hid to them that are lost because the church is not doing what it should be doing. Our focus is not on what it should be. I love Peter. Peter's a great man. A man of little faith. That little faith guy was on the inside of the inside. And might I tell you, Brother Jim can't do it by himself. Jesus chose not to do it by Himself, and He involved 12 men. Look what we got. We can change the whole world. He did. Amen. Peter was on the inside of the inside. Peter got out of the boat. Peter went to the grave. Then Peter went fishing. And again, the Savior said, "Do it my way, Peter. Throw it over here." Can I remind you what happened? Peter stood up and preached. 3,000 people got saved. Peter did it the way the Lord wanted him to do it, and he walked on water. Peter did it the way the Lord wanted him to do it, and the catch was so great that they couldn't haul it in because it was breaking the nets. We've got a big ocean out here. We've got a really big ocean out here. And let me just tell you this. If we had to go out and catch every single fish in that ocean, it would drive us mad. It would drive us mad. But the Bible assures us that we're to go and to try. We're to present our gospel to them that are lost. We're supposed to walk toward them that are without. We're supposed to redeem the time because these are evil days. Church, got to be sober. We got to be vigilant. We've got to be on task, level-headed. We've got to know what we're doing. We can't be distracted with this thing and that thing. I just tell you, I don't care what color the chairs are in the church. People are lost and dying and going to a devil's hell. Who cares? I don't care if you have Bible school and you come in here and this whole place is destroyed. Ripped up, marked up, beat up, spit up, slapped up. Praise God, He's still making paint. He's still making carpet. We can fix it back because He has it all. He wants our faithfulness. Reach those babies. Let me just challenge you to do this. Go a little further. Go a little further. Go out and reach the daddy. Go out and reach the daddy. Because let me tell you something. We're supposed to go to the top. And the way I read my Bible, the daddy's the top. You win the daddy and you'll win the family. Amen. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be on task. Have your eyes fixed on Jesus. I called Brother Jim up and I asked him, I said, what in the world made you want to go, I'm going to say it wrong on purpose, to Nevada? Oh, come on, don't act like I don't know what I'm talking about, because I could say all these Greek and Hebrew names and y'all wouldn't know. So just to let you know, that's Hebrew. What made you want to go there? Then I asked him something else. I said, you realize, I got to be careful, brother, that you have pitched your tent toward Sodom. And then Brother Jim tells me that he had that conversation with somebody just a few days earlier. And can I just tell you that not many days after that, I had the same conversation with a couple other pastor friends of mine. Church, let me tell you something. Nothing happens in this life or in God's church by accident. There's something there we've got to learn. And we've got a choice to make. Now, I'll be honest with you. I didn't know to right now why I had that thought about the popcorn. Okay? Didn't know. But it kind of fits in real good if you think about it. See, it's time that we let God do in our lives what He wants to do. Turn loose. Submit to His power and His heat. And pop for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Because we got to get busy because we're looking at Sodom. We're looking at Sodom. Church, it's time we got busy. Turned our eyes on Him. Got out of the boat. Have we always done it that way? And we can't do it like that because we never had before. Hogwash. Good word. You don't like that? You go get on your knees and you ask Jesus to make you understand why what I'm saying is wrong. It's time we got on our knees and got before our Lord and God and said to Him, show me how I can let my light shine. Show me how I can make my gospel appear before the lost person. I'm not stupid. I'm not naive. I know some of us can't walk. Some of us can't talk. Some of us can't chew bubble gum. Some of us can't do a whole lot of things. But I don't care about your limitation. I care about your availability to our Lord God. He'll give you the mission if you just give Him the missionary. Amen? You say, I'll go, and He'll take you there. Can I just tell you something? I was born in a little town in Kentucky. And I never dreamed I'd be where I've ended up. I've dreamed about being in this part of the world. I have. I've thought about it a lot through my lifetime. My wife will tell you she went to the Grand Canyon. I've never been. I know it's a big ditch. You don't have to spoil it for me. Can I tell you, I would have never gotten to be in the places that I've been and seen the things I've seen and done the things that I've done if it hadn't have been for our Lord and Savior.
That's right. Amen.
Wouldn't have happened. You wouldn't have put me on an airplane for the first time and sent me a day and a half due south. Wouldn't have worked. Then, no. I have no wings. No good reason. Mm-mm. I'm scared of heights. Is that right, brother? Yeah. Petrified. Don't like that stuff. No good reason. First time I got on an airplane. Day and a half. Can I tell you, I knew I was supposed to go. Can I tell you, I had no apprehension? No fear whatsoever. because God was sending me there. And I knew that. You submit to Him. And I don't care how old, I don't care how young, can I say that again? I don't care how young you are, the Lord can use you, who you are and where you are. Amen.
Amen.
Get up and go. Abraham said, uh-huh. Amen. Got up and went. When he got there, the Lord told him to stop. Amen. That's all we got to do, church. Just be that salt. Be that light. Let our gospel... You know the greatest? I'm going to hush one of these days. It's been a week or two. It's not 2 o'clock yet. Church, it's just time that we got busy doing what we were supposed to be doing. That's all. You know, I got the simplest job in the world. Brother Jim got the simple. It ain't a job. It's a calling. You know what? All we got to do is stand up and tell you what was told to us. Read to you what somebody else wrote. And that's it. Amen. Well, there might be a little more that goes with it. Maybe a little. You know, there's times that we get to laugh with you. There's sometimes we get to shout with you. Sometimes we get to shout at you. We get to love you. We get to cry with you. There's a little bit more that goes with it. But really, you know, at the base of it, we're the biggest fakers in the world. We don't know nothing. We have no original thought. It all comes from God. Don't worry about it. Who was the greatest missionary of all time? It wasn't Gene. Who? Paul? Jesus. Who was second best? Paul. As a man, as human, Paul was probably the greatest that ever was. And you know, he said the simplest things.
Yep.
Let me tell you what happened to me. I was walking along and saw a great light, heard a voice, changed my life. Now I'm doing things I'd never dreamed I would do. Think about the places he got to go. One of my favorite things. You know, I passed this sign out here. I don't speak King James. You'll get that in a minute. Passed the sign back here on this post. Said that you put that there for a God you don't know none about. I'm here to tell you who it is. That's it. Church, that's it. They don't know who God is. Oh, they'll claim His name. Most of the time it's in a swear way. But they don't know who He is. Their God's their belly. Amen. Their God is their lust. They make it with their own hands. They need to know the real God, the one true God, the Lord God Jehovah. Woo! Amen. They need to know God. But let me tell you what they need to know more than that. Can I be honest with you? Let me just tell you something you probably won't a lot of people say to you. You can make God into whatever you want Him to be. He can look like, act like, be like anything you want Him to be. You'd be dead wrong, but you can do it. See, there's only one God. He is who He is. Well, that's another paraphrase, isn't it? I am. Amen. But you can make Him fit into anything you want Him to be because the world for so long has been so convoluted that they don't know They're like kids. They don't know nothing. Amen. But let me tell you something. When he tapped on Mary's heart and he says, "Girl, I got something for you to do." Woo! I'm telling you, whenever he got Joseph up out of a sleep and said, "Boy, let me tell you what you're going to do." And Jesus come into this world through the womb of a virgin, you got to do something with that. Call his name Jesus, because he's going to save the world from their sins. You got to do something with that. You got to make a decision. You can't make Jesus into nothing other than who he is. Amen? And I don't know about you, but my Jesus ain't on that cross no more. Amen. They took him down, but he got up. Amen. Woo! He died up there, but he's living up here. Amen. Church, there's a bunch to say. But can I tell you, it's time for us to quit saying it in here? Because we all supposed to be all right. This is where we come, a pep rally. Woo! Give me a J! Don't y'all look at me like that. If you was at the gym, you'd say it. Amen. Go down there and stick that $5 coin in that slot. You'd be going, "Come on, come on." Oh! Right there he is. Hey, you know what I'm saying? It's time we got excited in here about who Jesus is so we can go out there and not keep our gospel hid. You know? That's about enough. Church, just let me leave you with that. It's time that we got fluffy and bathed in the Holy Spirit. And then whenever you walk by somebody and somebody touches you, there's going to be residue. Right. Woo! Amen. There's going to be residue. So leave a little bit of Jesus everywhere you go. Amen. Stand with me if you would. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. Father God, we thank you so much for the joy that you put in our hearts. Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus. And we thank you for your Word. That, Father, in such a mighty way reminds us of who we are, what we need to do, and who you are. Father, I just pray that your will be done in each of our lives. Concentrate our hearts on you and let everything else dim out. Father, help us. For it's in your name, Jesus, we do pray. And amen. Brother Jim.
Amen. If that's just you to come forward.